And may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I was reading this morning from Acts chapter 2, and there's this place in verse 43 that says, "And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles." I've heard a lot of people interpret that scripture as that because the Holy Spirit was doing so much stuff, everybody was just in amazement. But the word awe there carries that idea, but it's predominantly the word, it's the Greek word phobia. It's the word fear, that we get the word fear of the Lord. It actually means to take flight, to be in such reverence and in such awe of something that's so big and so powerful compared to who you are, that in light of your own smallness, you're just in awe. And the response of the fear of the Lord is actually the primary response of the fear of the Lord. It says in Isaiah 66 that God is looking for a resting place. And that resting place is where he can find someone who trembles at his word. That sense of the fear of the Lord that says, because of who you are, and because of how amazing you are, and how big you are, and how powerful you are, and in light of my smallness, I'm not scared of you, but I do fear you. And I want to obey you. I don't want to do anything to displease you. Not because I'm afraid you're going to do something to me, because you wouldn't, but you certainly could if you wanted to. That's the mystery of the Lord. The mystery of the Lord is he's so huge, the fear of the Lord has an accountability understanding to it. It's the beginning of wisdom. You start making a lot better decisions when you walk in the fear of the Lord. And we're so careful to not make people think they're not under grace that we dummy this thing down. We know that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But we also understand that this one who we walk with is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He's other. And he's so other, I don't want to displease him. He's so other that he won't do what he could do with one. But because he's that big, there's this sense of accountability, and there is an eternal accountability to my walk with him. It's an interesting thing, because it seems to contradict grace. It's not a contradiction at all. Listen to this from Acts chapter 9, verse 31. This is after Paul's conversion, and this is the context here. It says in verse 31, "So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace." That's good. And the language there is they were just continually enjoying the peace of the Lord. The idea is that there's just peace brought to you. God just brings you peace because the Holy Spirit's at work. And so there's this continuation of enjoying the peace of the Lord, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It continued to increase. This is a real contradictory verse because it talks about the church being built up, enjoying peace, and experiencing the comforting ministry of the Holy Spirit. And yet it says in the middle of all that, and going on in the fear of the Lord. And so whatever it means to walk in the fear of the Lord, it's not a contradiction to enjoying peace, being built up, and being comforted by the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, this scripture, verse 31 of chapter 9, seems to indicate there's a connection. That going on requires us understanding and walking in the fear of the Lord. You see, because they were going on, they were experiencing continual peace that comes from God, continual comfort that comes from the Holy Spirit, and continually being built up because they were going on. And the idea is, therefore, you can't go on. You won't finish well. You can't live a sustained life in the Lord without understanding something about the fear of the Lord. And one of the great contradictions, it's not a contradiction at all, it just seems that way to us because we're so limited in our thinking. His ways are higher than our ways. We have to. We come to this place where either you're walking in grace or people are walking in fear. Well, condemnation God never puts on you. But the kind of respect for who he is and the fact that you're accountable to him not only now but in eternity. And there's grace to get it right every time you fail. But God judges what? The heart. I'm interested, I was saying to somebody earlier today, isn't it interesting how in every, as the Son of Man, as a man, filled with the Spirit, I don't ever find anywhere Jesus' conversations with God, his Father, or in any circumstance or situation where Jesus is ever complaining or murmuring. We see him wrestling with the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, but the conclusion was, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. He was asking, is there another way around? But he wasn't biting his Father's head off because things weren't going the way he wanted them to. He had already purposed in his heart to do God's will. And I love Psalm 40, verse 8, when it describes the heart of Christ. And so for us to be Christ-like, we have to also come in union with his attitude. And it says about him that he delighted to do God's will. And in light of the gospel lesson that Ron, I wasn't going to preach this, but when Ron read that lesson, I thought, Lord, it's so awesome. The Matthew passage as opposed to the Luke passage, in Luke 4, it said he was led about in the wilderness by the Spirit. But the Matthew passage in chapter 4 says he was led about in the Spirit by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. He was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted. Luke says he was led about in the wilderness by the Spirit. Now, I love that connection there. I love how the Holy Spirit does Scripture. Jesus was led by God intentionally into a wilderness experience, and he encountered great temptation for 40 days. But while he was experiencing that, he was being led about by the Spirit. Led there by the Spirit and led about by the Spirit in those moments. You ever found yourself in a wilderness place? Whether it's relationally or financially or in your job or just whatever. And it works a lot better there if you're being led about by the Spirit in that wilderness place. There's an anointing, a victory. If you go back and you read the story of the temptation, it's really a story of victory. Jesus lived as a man, as an overcomer in that environment. And you see, I believe he did that because he carried the fear of the Lord. The fear of his own Father, because he lived as man. And the way that's always manifested, the fear of the Lord, is submission to his will. Surrender to his will, but not just acceptance of his will. Often we think we're living a life of obedience because we know we can't do much about it, so we just go, okay, I'm into it. But I don't like it. And we complain about it the whole time. Let me just say this to you. There's no victory there. If you find yourself in a wilderness place and you just accept it, though you don't like it, you're not going to be led about by the Spirit there. Jesus was led by the Spirit into this place. There were divine purposes for Christ to go through that time of testing. They were very significant. And then you don't find any complaints. No murmuring in Jesus' heart. Because he was delighting to do God's will. I've had a lot of people over the years who've talked to me about being in situations and circumstances, and they say, well, I just can't take it anymore. I've tried. I've tried to do the right thing. I've said yes to God, and it just doesn't work. So I'm getting out. That's their way of escape. Escape is never God's plan. There's one or two things going on there. Either they've never heard that there's grace for you to walk that out, that the Lord Jesus Christ who lives in you is actually willing and available to give you his power to walk out that situation. But I've had a number of people over the years who understood that. They understood the Holy Spirit lived in them. They understood that the overcomer was prepared to share his overcoming power with you in this situation. But what they didn't understand is that that can't happen. He won't trust you with his ability if he doesn't have your will. If you don't delight in his will, grace is never going to be released into your life in that situation. The reason Jesus as a man had overcoming power released into his life, and thus he was led about by the Spirit. He wasn't led about by his emotions. He wasn't led about by his circumstances. He wasn't led about by the devil, and he wasn't led about by other people. He was led about every step in the wilderness by the Spirit because he was willing to be led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He said yes up front with delight in his heart. Because you see, Jesus understood that obedience is the way we love God back. And he loved his Father. And when he was led into this place, he lovingly said yes. Delightfully said yes. And therefore knew grace to walk it out. That's the fear of the Lord. Is that yes that wouldn't dare complain. Wouldn't dare just accept something. Somebody so big, so great, so amazing that I'm accountable to. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.